Okay, so I will not make this very, very long and drawn out. Basically, everything that's happening on the farm is inspired by Fukuoka, Masanobu Fukuoka, who wrote The One Straw Revolution. I started to follow what he was writing when I was in my 19, when I was in J. Krishnamurti School in England. And see, this is not about techniques. This is not about organic farming. This is not even about permaculture. This is trying to shift a paradigm. Because the reality of the matter is, the content of our consciousness, what it is now, is not going to solve nothing. Because it's that's made the problem. The air in Delhi in the 2020 cricket match is so bad that the players had to stop playing. The water comes in a lorry to Chennai, so there's no drinking water. The food is impregnated with injection with the chemicals to make it bush looking nice and like this. But people are getting cancer. There's more plastic in the ocean than there are fish. People don't look in the eye on the street anymore. The economy is in a crash. So the world is in a crisis. It's now if I keep going, we'll start crying. There's mass, mass species extinction. Because there's some bacteria that all of a sudden gets activated in some species and they get blood poisoning, hundreds of thousands dying within hours. You know, we're in a crisis. So it's not with the content of our mind that's going to solve this. We need to shift maybe I'm not explaining it in the right way, but we need something drastic. So for me, when I look carefully at what's been happening over these years, is that the very basis of our existence is the soil under our feet, you know, like this soil here. So this soil, every civilization has recognized the divinity of the soil. Bhumi Dev, as I said, Gaia, Mother Earth, Pachimama, what you want to call it. Idan Sami. This is the Shakti of this country. If you look in India, the architecture, the language, you know, the music, the dance, the Ayurveda, the spirituality, the cuisine. It's all because a society had a dynamic, healthy relationship with where its food comes from. Nowadays, we don't, as I mentioned before, food, we don't have that relationship. It's a fact. This isn't like some fanciful thing. It's a fact. You know, our food has been defined by an industrial agriculture that sees only profits, you know, and money as the main, aim. So the nutritional cultural profile of our society is defined by the coin. It's not defined by what grows easily. So there are basically, that's all the problems. So then the solutions, like, let's make it real, you know, there has to be something we can at least start to aspire to do. So how do you get healthy soil? In the nature, it's very obvious. All of this soil, all of this organic matter is dropping to the ground and is becoming healthy soil in a very basic, you know, explanation. So if we recognize that all the biomass, the organic matter growing around us is our bioresource, that's our profit, not financial, but nutritional. If we found techniques as the primary technique in our farming to return all that back to the soil, that's the first act of devotion. If I talk in Berlin or London, I may use different vocabulary, but we're in Oroville, dedicated to Mother. You know, it's a spiritual community. This is an act of devotion to return this back to the soil. Because when that becomes healthy, that's a facilitating a Shakti of this, of the earth. That will give us then gifts once we've done that. So in this farm, there are over 100 plants that we regularly eat. Now, each plant has many parts to it. So papaya, you can eat the stem. You can eat the green papaya. You can eat the fruit. You can eat the seed. The leaves you can use as a beauty mask if you need to be more beautiful. And you can make use it for viral fevers. Today I made an Ayurvedic tonic with my daughter in the morning. Tulsi, Kalparavali, Sangapu, Aparajita flower, the green papaya leaf. Bale fruit leaves, guava leaves. We put it in the mixi, a bit of honey. The Ayurveda is not in a bottle. The Ayurveda is our culture. It's not belong to someone else. It belongs to us. So when we lost the relationship with where the food comes from, We lost our culture. So when we start to recognize that healthy soil will give these gifts, we start to see all this bounty around us. And then we have to start to recognize that bounty. Now, the first thing that is really beautiful is this, what they call locally chicken spinach, but actually it's called leaf ginseng or Tallinium triangulare. And as I said, it's a shamanic food. If you took the time, you know, we don't have time to check these things, but if you took the time and I just sent a lot to Parvati in Calcutta. I send lots of seeds to her now and this. So you'd be amazed at what it cures. You know, it's such an incredible storehouse of nutrients and minerals. And the food is a medicine. It's not a sort of like, a cliche. That the nutritional value is its medicinal value. Now, the irony of it is this grows outside every house in this bioregion. It's free. It has no food miles. I eat potatoes sometimes, but the potatoes don't grow here. So when we eat a potato, there is at least 10 factories to make one lorry to bring the potato to our doorstep from Uti or Kodaikanal. So all the pollution incurred by those factories is in the ecological cost of the potato. And that's our responsibility. So if we could be eating plantain or we could be eating tapioca instead of potatoes, and then we sit there with one incense, Om Namo Bhagavate, it's a profound confusion on our part, you know. So we have to address that question. Now, the first thing in Auroville, if everyone ate that once a week, we make chutneys with it, we make sabjis with it, we make soups with it, we make green sugar-free vegan smoothies with it, we make green sugar-free vegan ice cream with it, we make even kimchi with the stem, and you plant it like this. You just put it back in the ground, in the soil, and it will grow again, you know. It's ridiculously easy. So just imagine, we are 2,500, 3,000 people in Auroville. Everyone ate it once a week. It's not only we'll save money, or it's not only that nutritionally and medicinally we'll be better off, but also there'll be a change in the consciousness of people. That's the first step. When people ask me, how do I start permaculture? It's not PDC and more cerebral stuff. It's something, start eating that. It will lead you to the next thing. The next thing is the green papaya. So the green papaya, this is another superfood. If you go on the internet and read what this does, compare it with carrots, right? So carrots, they can grow here for a very short season. It's a struggle to get a carrot out of the ground here. So normally they come in a nice plastic organic thing from Uti. Mm-hmm. But carrots have carotenoids in it, which maybe you'll know that they translate into vitamin A in the body. So this has a lot more carotenoid than a carrot. Now, one papaya tree, look how many papayas are on it. And this is a side branch that I took from, you know. Look at a line of carrots. They only grow in a short season. You get a box of carrot for how much surface area? The same amount you get from one tree. You can grate this and make a sabji with peanuts and chili. It's a little Indian. Grated with a little soy sauce, it's Asian. Again, you can make kimchi, you can make chutneys, you can make Thai salad. You can do so much with this. This is nutritionally and medicinally, it's again amazing what it'll do. You make the research yourself. It's useless for me to tell people. You throw the seeds over your shoulder. It's in every garden in Auroville. Again, once a week, you have a Thai salad, you have a pesto, you have something else, you have it Indian, you have it Asian, you have a kimchi. It's not like it's boring. It's not like, yeah, but it's boring. You know, it's not like that. We're showing it in our cafe, the diversity. But you look in Auroville, and it's not a critique to Auroville, because Auroville is my family. But the problem is, you know, it's a global problem. It's a problem of all humanity.
Ignorance.
Yeah, I mean, ignorance means you can't. Ignorance again is blaming. It's our whole educational system that aims at you being better than you, and you getting a car, and I'm getting the new DVD, and I got the Apple, and you've only got the basic. You know, it's all this gain. It's looking at individual well-being instead of collective well-being, and that is in. You know, programmed into us from young age. But they send the kids to the, you know, tuition with the rucksack. But for what? We're the only species capable to start nuclear war. So what's the meaning of it? There is no meaning of that anymore. To get PhD, masters, it's meaningless anymore. It has no place in a world where we're in crisis. What has a place is to start eating this food. and start eating that food doesn't mean you should stop being a heart surgeon or, you know, an engineer or a soil specialist or whatever is your passion. But at least let's find this angle. These are just two things I've mentioned. You know, I don't want to, you know, keep going and on, but it's endless. There's the turkey berry, the sundakai, which is over there. It's another weed. It's, you read about it. It cures kidney disease, diabetes, cancer. It's growing everywhere, but people don't use it. You won't find it in a single restaurant because our restaurants have an aim of making money. They're not focusing. The only way we value these foods is to look at their nutritional value first. When we start doing that, then we get blessing of Mother Nature. Because around this, then other blessings emerge. So first step is to honor the organic matter. Second step is to honor all the gifts that she has, the guava leaves and the drumstick and all of this stuff. And then the third step, which we see, and that's probably the most, I would say the most inspired part of it, is to try and honor the community, honor the creativity in our community. Because without celebration, without recognizing the musician and the, you know, the massage person, the healer, the singer, without recognizing the and the educators, without recognizing the diversity in our community, like we recognize the diversity of the gifts of Mother Nature, we can't come together. And we have more and more of an individualized sort of society where people are on their trip. But this problem is not about me becoming vegan or me doing my yoga or something. This is like, how do we reassess our collective values, you know? Like in Oroville, what I've just told you, and I teach this all the time, I never hear someone saying me, I'm wrong. Everyone agrees. But how do you get Oroville, like just let's take Oroville, because how do you get everyone to eat this green papaya once a week collectively, that we say, we don't agree about everything, but we agree that this is basic, and we agree that this chicken spinach is basic. But you see, everyone's buying pasta and olive oil from Italy at a lot of money. And we're talking about, oh, but there's no money in this and that. And yet we have the gifts around us. So how do you make that change? If we don't bring people together in celebration, change is not possible. So celebration, the music festivals, you know, the education, the workshops, the basket service, the cafe, these are all the secondary fruits of the work that we're doing. And I think it's critical, but I'm at a loss because I can't make that change. I've already done so much work and no, there's been very little response on a community level. There's a lot of tapping on the back and good work and everything, but on a real level, like, how do we come together? Because it's not about you and me, it's about a collective, and I really, it's beyond me. How do we do that collectively? I really don't know. But just imagine everyone eats papaya once a week, green papaya. Everyone eats the chicken spinach once a week. The drumstick spinach, it's being sold for $10 in little capsules in Europe. And it's a superfood. Even all the UNESCO, all these characters, they're all like claiming all this. But where is it in our where is it in our restaurants? You know, it's claimed that it's so good for our children, for their brains, for their blood, for their bones. Where is it in our society, in our cultural nutritional profile? It's not present. And we're talking about how do we integrate Tamil and this and that. You know, we don't know that people are not embracing the language, people are not embracing the culture. Without embracing that, these things are lost because permaculture is not about an expert. Recently, I was in Surat teaching permaculture, and I told them, you are making a big mistake to bring me as an expert here. I mean, I took their money and I was very happy. But I said to them, I printed out 29 pages back and front of organic farmers in Gujarat. And I said to them, these are the guys who know about the chicken spinach. These are the guys who know about the pipalongam, the long black pepper, used to be traded for gold by the Romans. You know, it's the king of Ayurveda. These are the people who know the little secrets. So when they're gone, what are you going to do? You're going to call some Angrezi to come and teach you? You disempower yourself by making people into experts. Because this is your knowledge and our knowledge. It's collective knowledge. And you can't get this knowledge through the head. You can get this knowledge by eating it. and being part of a community. It doesn't mean that someone stops to produce the most exquisite music on the piano and they're in the garden. It doesn't mean that. But it means that it's a value that's common in our society. So that person who is producing that heavenly music, they have access to it. It's part of their life because their neighbor has the papaya tree. He doesn't have to grow it. But he do other things, you know. Because there's enough papayas in there for at least, you know, 4 or 5 houses altogether. So this is I'm often perceived as a little problematic guy in Oroville and a bit pushy and this and that. But it's extremely frustrating because you see a beautiful solution in front of you and they're all sitting in town hall having meetings about economy. But this is at the heart of economy. Mm-hmm. We're looking at waste and trash and pollution and beautiful talks and everything. But what's the most common packaging is food. You know, so at least if... But I don't know what more to say, you know, because I can't do it alone. So that's where I'm at, you know. So I say that especially to the Aurovillians here, because it's only coming together that will make a change, you know. You want to walk this way? I'll show you a few things in the farm and we can...
Make sure there's a nice bug here. Wow, it's nice.
This is the sundakai. This is crazy vegetable. It's amazing what it does for you, and it's a weed. I haven't planted any of them. You know, that's the ramphal, another fruit completely not completely but quite undervalued, anti-cancer, very delicious fruit.
Like sitafal,
yeah. But reddish color, and it's got the passion fruit climbing up it. This is the soursop which used in your juice. I sent one of these also up to Parvati recently. This is anti-cancer, 10,000 times more effective than chemotherapy. But even this type of thinking doesn't interest me. It's all of it together equals well-being, you know. It's not like one of them inside our paradigm is going to change it. You make a juice from the leaves. Come, we can go this way.
That red, that purple juice.
That purple juice is from the aparajita flower. Okay. Nice. There's a salad for you for this evening. You're cooking at home?
Sure.
There you go. So there's basically this whole thing about permaculture. I mean, we won't go on too long because it's too hot maybe, but the whole thing about permaculture is it's again, it's another conceptual thing. It's like veganism, you know. I'm a vegan, but, you know, we may be eating foods like quinoa that are destroying a culture in Peru. So we shouldn't become conceptual about things. Mm-hmm. Permaculture is about your relationship. So in a field like this, what we're aiming to do is mix as many crops together according to their physiological difference and their time duration. So in here you've got your long duration crop, which is your tapioca. So one of these plants could give about 10 kilos. And you can make chips, you can mash it, you can steam it, you can eat it raw. It's an incredible food substance. If I take it to the solar kitchen, they'll go, no, we can only take a little bit. They won't use it, but it's because the consumer doesn't want it. Because the consumer is familiar with potatoes and not tapioca, you see. But the Tamils will eat it because it's part of their culture. So that's what I was saying about the surat business. Permaculture emerges out of a culture. It doesn't emerge out of a cerebral context. So doing PDC, permaculture design course, is nice, but it's a very myopic sort of, it's a very limited paradigm. It's a good starting point maybe, but it's not the end. It's a very beginning. So within that, you also have amaranth. There was a full field of salad, and it's all come out because the salad was very quick. This is 10 months. The salad was 2 months. This cluster bean is about 3 months. There's basil in here from last year. There's some tomatoes that have come up. You're constantly trying to add dimensions to the field. In this field, there's not much, but a bit of banana. In this field, there's a bit more papaya. banana, and there's ragi coming up in all these fields as well. Ragi coming up, and ragi's a millet, and it's coming up in between on its own. So it's not like we're going to have a sack of millet from one field, but from all the fields, these plants are taking the gaps where otherwise you'd have grass, and you start to have like such a diversity. Again, within that, you have this like aparijita flower, like this. This not only has a nutritional and medicinal value, and of course a cultural and a social value, ecological value, but it has educational value. So with the kids, we make a tribal booster juice. So you take this, the soursop leaf, lemongrass, tulsi, haldi, the nanari, the sarsaparilla. You harvest it all together with them. You boil it all up, add some lemon, a little bit of sugar or jaggery. You have a juice. You can't get that anywhere, you know. So... and it's all things that are wild, but completely not valued. So, but we go into a shop and we buy our things in, like, we are defined by money. But everyone could have this. What I served you at lunch is just very simple. That's one of the workshops we do with people. It's there. And also it has a technical relevance. Because look, this plant is growing up. This is like a mulch. This is suppressing evaporation and weeds. It's fixing nitrogen. These leaves are going to be dropping off, returning organic matter. It has so many values we just cannot see.
We can just... is this topsoil that you have everywhere naturally grown, or have you added something? Because I see a very...
no, there's
nice,
definitely some compost in
I
here
see a
at
very
times.
Nice compost.
Yeah, there is, but... I would say that it's over many, many years of returning organic matter. When we have a very dense intercrop like this, it's not so easy to return organic matter. I'll show you in other fields how we return organic matter. Yeah, so this is how we return the organic matter in substantial ways, is in the trenches like this. And, you know, by doing that, most of the fields get done like this at least twice a year, and then again and again and again, and it's that that gives a diversity of nutrition for the field, because it's not nitrogen based, it's not NPK based, it's a bit of this leaf and a bit of that grass. It's like when you eat, you've got so much diversity of nutrition, that's why you're healthy. The soil the same. The question of disease or pests, those have gone when there is health in the soil. And the soil is able to facilitate this diversity. Of course, this is just a radish field at the moment. Radish field with bananas and tapioca on the edges. But it's a bit linear compared to the other field. But still.
So pests, that's no pests?
There are some pests, but we don't think of them as pests. We think that they're like sub-brahmahe, you know. It's like everything is this, you know. There is nothing, anything outside is only according to our concept of what we want. And when a crop doesn't do well, it's because the soil is not supporting that. So constantly having a diversity helps with all of those scenarios. This is a little beautiful and a little frightening as well. Like, this is our like Western sort of salad section, fennel and Chinese cabbage, pak choy, this cabbage thing. This year had cauliflowers. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I know other people have had, but little shrimpy things. We had like good cauliflowers. You know how cold it is every night? The Aurovillians, especially we live here. That's a global warming, I think. Next year, I'm going to try potatoes and all these other things. Okay, it's going in that direction, you know. But let's embrace everything, you know.
Yeah, but that makes me worried about the summer. We are going to have much more extreme summer too.
Let's see. Yeah, definitely. We'll have to see what that means, you know. Yeah. I mean, there's 5 years. For me, I say 5 years, we've had no monsoon. Yeah. Because... yeah, my well hasn't filled up for 5 years, except when there was a cyclone. That's not a monsoon.
No, no. Yeah,
that's a cyclone.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything is destroyed.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, yeah.
Yeah. No, this year we have had a bit.
Yeah, all the rice got lost this year. This is ragi on this side. Ladies finger batrima. So you see in these fields here, there's no way. This is all tapioca, but it's tapioca with lady's finger and ridge gourd, tapioca with lady's finger and cucumber, tapioca with green gram and bottle and the cluster beans. It's like a lot of tapioca. There's no way we can sell it. Like, we're not thinking on that level. What we will do is we'll peel it, we'll make chips, we'll dry it, we'll make flour. And it's a wonderful staple to have because it'll last a long time when it's dry. And then hopefully people start to recognize, oh, that's also, it's to show people how you can use things in different ways. Like, if people would recognize that, then maybe bakery would start to ask some farmers to grow it. And to have that growing for 10 months, that's like very valuable, rather than to just get a 3 or 4 month crop, which uses a lot more resources.
You know, I don't know how tapioca looks like. I mean, if you could show something.
It's a root, like this brown root, and you peel
the
root off.
It's a big, long? Not the small one.
No, it's a big one.
So like the small ones that I buy in Portus,
that's probably sweet potato. Something else.
Yeah, but okay.
So this little garden is a circle garden. This garden has also the potential to really create a revolution in our society. It's a very simple module. If 3 or 4 of us started now, we'd be finished in an hour and a half. Within 2.5 months, it looks like this. Emma, when did we do this? Beginning of December, no? This is beginning of December we've done this garden. You know, so you're already starting harvesting things. It can be done in a public space, outside schools, outside offices. It could be done in the Matrimonde gardens. It could be done anywhere. It's redefining our aesthetic, you know. If you were a farmer outside Chennai or Bangalore or Bombay or Pune, wherever you are, and you had these gardens, you might put a poster up and say, reconnect with where your food comes from on a medicinal, a nutritional, social, cultural, ecological level. Own your own garden. The farmer would rent the garden to you. Once a week, the farmer would teach you how to do the garden. Make sure it survives, water it. Maybe you want to provide the seeds and all the seedlings and everything. And, you know, if the farmer asked you 500 rupees a month for that, be a giveaway. You know, he would also offer a cooking class once a month, because without knowing how to cook the tapioca, it's a waste, you know. Now, if you see this area, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 of these gardens, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You could have 40 of these in a half acre easily, if not much less. So 40 times 500 rupees, that's 20,000 rupees. I'm not interested in economics, but you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. A farmer is in that situation. But a farmer honoring what's easy to grow, honoring what's local, honoring what he knows to grow, what's part of his culture, he's no longer just a farmer, he's a custodian of a culture. He's an educator, social worker. And that's where the farmer belongs with his knowledge. And he would be getting 20,000 bucks. So what's better, doing C++, first year 20,000, or just doing such a beautiful thing and creating community? So I see this as a very amazing opportunity. I just did a shoot with Doordarshan about this. Whether it comes to anything, this is like going up Everest twice, yeah, without water and without shoes. It is... I don't know what to say. And yet, you know, we're showing that it's working because the money is coming in. Of course, we're in a very privileged place in Oroville.
What did you put in it?
So what are
in here, there's tomatoes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's tapioca.
Yeah.
There's katak, which is very common in Asia. It's called sweet leaf. It's a vitamin plant. There's the basella spinach. There's sword bean. There is ash gourd. There is snake gourd. There's ridge gourd and sweet potatoes. There is manatakali and chicken spinach and spring onions and radish. There was a cauliflower. Look, there's still a little cauliflower left. And then there's all sorts of things that we don't even think about anymore. This is like the top for kidney. It's called Kirinelli. Philanthros nirali, I think it's called. It tastes terrible, but it's really, really, really good for you. Otherwise, people are buying it in a little jar for 150 rupees, but it's there in the garden. You can eat the sweet potato leaves. You can make a milk with the cotton flour. This is cotton here. And there's a lot of space. There's bananas here. There's papaya in here. It's not finished, this garden, you know. So it has a lot of potential. It's how do we start, you know? That's the thing.
Krishna, tell them about the basket and the work you are doing with the women.
So this is an extension of the basket. So the basket is you pay for 6 months. You don't choose what's in your basket. Now in our season, we've got such an abundance. It's supposed to be a 2 kilo basket, but it's more like 2.5 or 3 kilo. It's no skin of our nose to put in big papayas in. We're happy to share all these things. But when people are taking a basket and they don't choose what's in their basket, we're able to get people to honor what's local food. You know, like this Manathakali. This is really, you know, a very important part of Tamil culture. But it's hardly eaten in Oroville. Maybe, I don't know, 3-4% of the people will eat it. And people aren't growing it even.
Is that a takali?
Manathakali. You can eat the seeds as well. It's medicinal spinach. It's very good to eat. You know, I think you have to cook it. But it's a very great, you know, again, it's the list of those things go on. But when I give you a basket, I can put anything in the basket. And if you don't know how to cook it, you come to the cafe and we show you. Mm. You know, because you're part of a community, because the community is the support. Again, this is an extension of that work. Instead of having a basket, you have a garden. The first step, you eat the meal. Then you have a basket. Then you have a garden. And then you start running a field, you know, if you want. You know, that's the sort of the vision. Mm. Anyway, thanks for coming.
Thank you.